We will resume our meeting. We'll move on to item number six here, which is our informational items. And the first one is our fiscal year 2022-2023 fourth quarter enterprise performance measures update. Nicole, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, President Pauly. Good morning to all the members of the board. My pleasure this morning to close out the year for our enterprise performance metrics, present the results, and also provide an update on the industry standards. You may recall at the last quarterly metric update, we received board feedback regarding comparing our measures and goals to industry data, and I believe, Director Armstrong, you provided that direction, and we appreciate that opportunity to review the data. So I'll begin with the industry standards research. We looked at a variety of associations as well as systems that we report data into to see what data was available to compare our own. We looked at Metropolitan Water District and other agencies to see, for insight on what is currently being reported and what industry data they might be using as well. The most comprehensive data set that we found was for the American Water Works Association. They do an annual utility benchmarking. There are 168 utility members from across the country that participate in this study, and there are 61 different performance indicators to measure business operating efficiency for water and wastewater as well, from an organizational standpoint. Another system that we found useful is the California Integrated Water Quality System, the CWICS system. And this is the online reporting system that we use to report sanitary sewer overflows to the Water Board. It provides current and regional state data that we can compare, each agency can compare itself to. I got a little excited to get forward. So considerations for the AWWA benchmarking data. As I mentioned, it's very comprehensive, so we were kind of excited to see it and to compare our metrics to the measures that they describe. The biggest consideration is the timeliness of the data. The data that we use to compare is the 2022 benchmarking report, and it's actually reporting fiscal year 2021 data. We don't have a date yet for the publication for 2023 that would have fiscal year 2022 data. But that's significant because when we're talking about comparing financial data, it's not very timely, especially given inflationary trends like we've been talking about. AWWA also advises agencies that look at this data and compare themselves to consider different factors that may make their agencies unique. Agency size is one thing to consider, our water sources, the climate and topography, the age of our system. And then there are economic factors to consider as well. Some agencies may enjoy economies of scale that other agencies don't. So when we lined up our performance measures, there are 12 of them, to the AWWA data, we found that three were shared, which means that they matched the measure definition as well as the data used to make calculations. So the three were wastewater operating cost, water treatment reliability, and the injury and illness rate. We found four of our measures were similar, which means that they're defined just a little differently than we define ours, but we have the data available to perform a comparison if we wanted to compare, to do a direct comparison. And then as far as the, there are five that were no match, so these are unique to EMWD when looking, just when comparing to AWWA. So with the review and the research that we performed, we proposed some changes for fiscal year 23-24. And I have each metric listed with the recommendation. Oh, we lost one of the monitors, sorry. So just to summarize, the wastewater treatment reliability, we recommend comparing to the AWWA utility benchmarking data. We don't feel that it's as time sensitive as comparing the financial data. For customer hours out of service, we looked at the metrics that AWWA has, but we feel ours is more comprehensive because it considers the outage duration as well as the number of customers affected. So we like that and feel that that's, you know, important to track. We will recommend one change to that measure just to focus on unplanned outages, and I'll show you our proposed change as we get to that slide. For wastewater spills of collection and treatment systems, we are proposing modifying the measure definition to align with the CWIC system. They measure the number of sanitary sewer overflows per 100 miles of pipe. So we're proposing to change our metric definition to align with that, you know, to track per 100 miles so that we can compare to the regional data.
Can I jump in and ask a quick question on that, though?
Yes.
How do the regulatory agencies, are we in line with how they monitor that, too, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a great question, President Pauly. So the data that we submit separate from our metrics is, in fact, in accordance with the regulatory requirements. But I think what Nicole is referring to is now we can actually use that database and align our definitions so that we have better comparables with the other agencies.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. I just want to make sure we're not getting outside what the regulatory agencies view on that. So
yes. Thank you, Director Pauly. For the general and administrative costs and the net operating margin, the two of our financial measures, we're proposing no change. We believe it's prudent to continue to compare our performance to budget. For six of the remaining metrics, we have a couple different considerations. For the water operating cost and wastewater operating cost, we are looking at considering some other operational efficiency measures that would that might lend itself to comparing to other agencies because we're, you know, the largest, as President Pauly mentioned earlier in the meeting, largest in the county and unique to some of the agencies surrounding us. You know, we want to look at something like operating costs per customer account instead of deliveries or million gallons treated. So we'll continue doing research on those too. And then for the remaining metrics, we, again, will continue to look at available industry data and make some recommendations for those going into the new fiscal year report. So with that, we'll go over the fourth quarter results. There are four measures that are currently performing outside of the goal or target range. The water operating cost per acre foot delivered. Overall for the quarter, we were within goal. June, you will see, is above goal, and that's due to higher purchased water costs and energy costs. We began Saboba replenishment in April, and so that's why we see increased purchased water costs during the quarter. For wastewater treatment operating costs, we see a similar trend for the quarter where we overall did well, but we're higher in June, and this is due to higher energy and chemical costs. For recycled water storage, we are we're above our target range for the fourth quarter, and that's, you know, as we've been discussing, due to weather. We had rainy weather at the beginning of the year and cooler, milder temperatures going into this quarter. Looking at usage for recycled water, you can see our lower usage in Q3, January through March, and then it picked up for April through June. But you can see from the blue line, which represents our 2-year average, we're still we're still lower, using less water than we have in the last 2 years. The next metric is the self-generated power, and we are on target for fourth quarter. For customer hours out of service, we are actually outside of goal again for this one. And this is the measure that we discussed, you know, making a modification to. So currently, the way that we measure our hours out of service is we looked at both planned and unplanned hours. We feel that the planned hours represent the district's continuous commitment to improve the water system and expand and meet customer needs. So we believe this metric should focus on unplanned outages. And in order to do that, we've updated this graphic, this bar chart, to show the unplanned hours at the bottom and then the planned hours in the gray. As you can see, typically we're low for the unplanned outages. We did have a large outage in April that took us, you know, above the 8 hours. But in terms of the planned hours, you can see, again, we have large planned outages over the quarter, but we had project work like contractor work on the Indian Street pipeline replacement. We had work on the Pettit regulated pressure zone upgrades. So So for the customer hours out of service, we're proposing that we change this measure to reflect just the unplanned hours. The goal would be based on the 24 months of performance, just unplanned hours. That would be around 4, looking at the last 2 years. So going into the new fiscal year, that would be the goal. For wastewater treatment reliability, overall for the quarter, we did well. You will notice that for June, we were below goal due to some process upsets at the Paris Valley Reclamation Facility. We had a customer that was illegally discharging into the system, and so that definitely disrupted things, and that's why we are, you know, just slightly below the 98% goal. For this bar chart, you will also notice there's a new yellow line. The blue line represents EMWD's current goal at 98%. We have we've now added the AWWA Region 5 median. Region 5 is basically the Western U.S. It includes California, Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, Nevada. So, and their goal is, or their median is 99.9%. For wastewater spills of collection systems, there were no reportable spills in Q4, we're happy to say. This next slide shows if we were to update our metric definition and compare our sewer overflows per 100 miles to the CWIC system regional average, this is what the data looks like. So this represents all of our spills for fiscal year 22-23 in relation to the regional average, which is at about 3.1. The next measure is our customer satisfaction score, which our scores remain high and above goal. Our illness and injury rate, this is another measure where we had the opportunity to add some industry data directly to the slide, and so we did. We ended the year at 2.5%, but we've gone even lower than that since since the end of the quarter. This is a reminder that this is a rolling average, so we're at 2.5%, but our actual injury rate is down to, I believe, 0.88 at the moment. The yellow or sort of goldish line on this chart is the Bureau of Labor and Statistics industry rate, which is what we use to compare, and it was the industry rate for 2021, 4.9. The next two measures are financial measures. We have the G&A administrative costs as a percentage of our total operating cost. Fourth quarter, we continue to be above goal. This measure is also, or the results for this measure are also reported as a rolling average. So it'll take time to see recovery as our G&A costs lower. It'll take time to see that recovery. We're at 13.7% at the end of the year, and this is largely due to the higher than budgeted COLA increases and some legal costs. We also had lower operating costs and lower purchase water expensive for the fiscal year to date. The net operating margin is below goal for this quarter. And this is due to lower water and recycled water sales, as we saw in the recycled water usage chart. That I believe that tells the story well. And then, of course, we had the higher energy and chemical costs this year as well. Our last measure is the CIP project CIP program actual to budget, and we ended the year at 83%, $107 million of the $129 million forecast spent. So in summary, four of our measures did not meet their respective goals, and we'll continue to monitor those and continue to research and, update the fiscal year goals for 2023-24. And we look forward to coming to you with the first quarter results with some new and exciting measures, tables. And the next report will be in the January timeframe. Are there any questions?
Questions? Director Slauson?
Yeah, you said you're looking forward to coming back with some more new and exciting measures. So you're claiming that these were new and exciting measures?
I'm sure they were, but that was before my time.
Yeah. No, this I really appreciate this work and the work that you've asked about, the additional.
Yeah, I appreciate that you looked into it and found some of them. I mean, I always think that the performance measures are really valuable if you use them to drive performance. It's like that saying that what gets measured gets managed, And so looking at some of these other industry ones just lets us know how we're doing compared to the industry. And yes. I just appreciate you took a look at it.
Thank you, Director Armstrong.
No, appreciate you and Mr. Bates coming up with new ways to look at things. From a board perspective, this is kind of the information that we need to make sure that we're all moving in the right direction is what management needs. So thank you for what you guys do. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, President Pauley, and thanks to all the departments and teams that provided their input as well and their guidance, because we definitely didn't do it alone.
All right. We will now move on to item B, which is Section 115, Trust for Pension and Other Post-Employment Benefits Annual Report. Thomas is back.
I'm back. Today's my lucky day. I get to bat lead off.
Or our lucky day.
Yes.
Having you twice.
Yes. Speaking of baseball, I coach youth baseball, and the team I coach this season is also the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks are in the World Series. Tonight we play the Dodgers, and Director Corona, we'll try to beat them nice and easy so they can go home with some dignity. we won't. Good morning again. I'm happy to present this update on the Section 115 Trust and the annual report. Today's informational item is to provide the full board an update along with the annual report. And this is one of the many accountability measures that were put in place as the trust bylaws were established. This past June wrapped up the first full fiscal year of the Section 115 Trust, and staff expects to bring the annual report to the board following the end of each fiscal year going forward. Pension costs continue to increase over the past decade for local governments in California, and Eastern was not immune to that. Over the past 10 years, the district has proactively addressed and reduced these costs, and in 2013, policy principles were adopted, and since 2014, discretionary contributions have been made to fund these liabilities. Fast forward to the budget process in 2021, the board renewed its commitment to address these long-term liabilities and established the Section 115 Trust. As noted on this slide, also the board also authorized PFM as a trust administrator, U.S. Bank as a trustee, established a retirement trust committee for oversight, and authorized the chair of the committee to execute the related documents, including the bylaws, the charter, and the investment policy statement. The pension portfolio was funded with $15 million in March of 2022, and then the OPEB portfolio was funded with $117 million from assets from CalPERS in June of 2022. This slide summarizes some of the trust committee's activity, along with some of the decisions that were made at the board level. In the first year, the Retirement Trust Committee met each quarter with PFM, and since then, the meeting frequency has been adjusted to meet semi-annually going forward. As part of PFM's continued due diligence, they provided the committee information educational sessions on alternative investments, and ultimately, the committee did not select to add alternatives to the portfolios. Just a recap on board of director decisions. The pension portfolio, $15 million contribution was made as part of the budget update presented last year. Those investments were made $5 million increments just for risk mitigation of dropping $15 million in at one time into the market. Also, as part of this current budget cycle, or what was adopted back in June, was $15 million each fiscal year. This fiscal year, those funds have already been deposited, and then next year, another $15 million will be deposited at the beginning of the fiscal year. As I mentioned, two portfolios were established as part of the Section 115 Trust, one for pension and one for OPEB. The funds within the pension portfolio may be used towards the district's normal costs and pay down the district's liability to CalPERS. Then on the OPEB portfolio, investment returns will be used annually to pay benefit costs and reimburse the district. The pension portfolio is set up for growth, so there's a little bit heavier weight towards equities. The Retirement Trust Committee met and finalized both asset targets listed below here at the bottom of this slide within the investment policy statement. Looking at the pension portfolio over the past year, as I mentioned, contributions at the beginning of the fiscal year were made in $5 million increments. Those are shown on the right-hand slide. Market value in July of 2022 was just under the $15 million amount that we started, and I'll address this in two more slides here. But we do show net inflows along with a return on investment and then an ending balance at the end of this fiscal year, or this last fiscal year, in surplus of $30 million. The portfolio allocations at the bottom show the beginning and the ending allocations. There was some rebalancing done throughout the year, reduced cash, increased fixed income, along with domestic and international equities. This is one of the benefits of having a managed portfolio. We're able to work directly with PFM, like I mentioned, meet on a quarterly basis, look at what the market's doing, and react in a faster time period to adjust the portfolio and the way the assets are invested. The OPEB portfolio, I mentioned earlier, the initial contribution was in June of 2022. We had net flows based on the actuary determined contribution shown in this table. Benefit costs were just over $6 million, but the return on investment were in excess of that, over $10 million, and so they were able to take care of those relatively easy. Also shown on this slide is the market value at the end of the fiscal year, $123.4 million. Similar to the pension portfolio, there was some rebalancing done. We show on this slide the beginning and end of year allocation. Looking at the portfolio performance over the last fiscal year, in blue is the pension portfolio, and then in purple is the OPEB portfolio. You may notice since inception on the pension portfolio, we're showing a negative return. As I mentioned, $5 million increments or deposits were made for mitigating risk. With that said, still dropping in $5 million at a time, there is some risk involved. This portfolio was started in March, April timeframe, and it was a difficult time to add into the market. And so in comparison, the OPEB portfolio was started in July of 2022, which was just a couple months later. And since inception, the performance is significantly different. The good news is that the pension portfolio's performance has trended upwards and has erased that deficit through the end of this fiscal year. So it is working as designed, and I'll show that a little bit more detail in a couple more slides. The OPEB performance also shown on this slide. We're only showing 1 year's return because we've really only had the portfolio set up for a year. And then at the bottom of the slide shows the fees for both portfolios. The expense ratio, relatively low. This is mainly due to the fees that we're paying for PFM and the credits that we're receiving based on those investments. We actually had no out-of-pocket costs for that, and we actually received a credit as shown on the far right column of this slide or this table. As part of the accountability measures, the committee meets regularly. We have a meeting to the board, present an update to the board, an annual report, which is included in the staff report. Then there's also a compliance certificate that's prepared by the trust administrator. This slide or this table on this slide summarizes the compliance certificate, showing that the target allocations were within range and confirmed. Investment policy statement has been reviewed. Committee education has been conducted. And then the fund performance. The pension portfolio's performance, 9.9%, as designed, is for growth and should outperform the OPEB portfolio just a little bit based on the way that the allocation is within that portfolio. Because we did start a little bit rough initially, the annualized benchmark is a little bit higher. Over time, as that portfolio ages or gets established, we should start to see that performance start to increase and pick up. Happy to report the OPEB funded status through the end of the fiscal year, 102%. This status, not to mine and John's doing, but mainly to the board and to management at the time, 100% funded status was achieved in September of 2020. The initial target was set up as 2034, many years ago. And so just want to remind that through the board's direction and through the work of staff, this was able to be accomplished well ahead of schedule. And we're in a good place in regards to OPEB funding. Moving on to pension funding, 68% funded status. Based on a couple assumptions here, we're projecting to be 102% in fiscal year 2930. And those assumptions are annual contributions of $15 million, which is what we've done over the last several years, along with an average rate of return of 6.5%. The target is 6 to 7%, so we just picked the middle ground here. Things that could impact or change this projection would be increased annual discretionary contributions, or a decrease, rather. And then also just average rate of return could impact that. Looking out several years, we're in a good place, and it's always good to see where that projection lies and refresh those assumptions. That wraps up my presentation. Covered a lot of information, but happy to answer any questions. And also have John here, who's we've both worked diligently managing this Section 115 trust.
Director Armstrong.
Yeah, I wanted to just make a couple comments. On the OPEB, I think it's great. It's working the way it's supposed to work, and congratulations to past boards and past staff that really worked hard to put that in place over time, and it's really achieving what it's designed to achieve. So that's, a great story there. And on the pension, yeah, it's tough times. These are long-term liabilities and long-term investments. It's hard to watch something after just 1 year. But if I remember correctly from our meeting, an alternative to establishing the 115 trust would have been to put the funds with CalPERS and make the deposit there. And I think that our 115 trust outperformed CalPERS performance. So even though we didn't hit the benchmark, I think we did better than what the alternative was. So I think it was a good decision on that.
Agreed. Too. Yep, well said.
I'd like to note that the reason we set up the 115 Trust was when you joined the board, you brought over a great idea of doing so. So I'm very pleased that we have done all these things to control internally some of our cost of benefits for our employees. So thank you for that. Director Record.
So we do a lot of analysis about how we compare to other agencies. Is there any data available about, I think we're in good shape, and I have a feeling that a number of agencies aren't.
Yeah, we work with GovInvest, who has a lot of data on a lot of agencies use their software for projections. We've worked with them over the past year or so, and we looked at just average funded status, where other agencies are at. Eastern's looking really good. I don't have anything here today, but we use it regularly as we prepare agenda materials for the Retirement Trust Committee, just to make sure that we're in line with the industry or we're beating other agencies. To say that a lot of agencies have a problem or really major concerns would be an understatement. And it's great, just in meeting with the Retirement Trust Committee, feedback we receive from our trustee bank, from PFM, from outsiders looking in, from GovInvest, who works with a lot of other agencies, is that we're really in a good place. And part of that, like President Pauly mentioned, is feedback we received from the board. Director Armstrong, through the budget process a couple years ago, really looked at all our options. Through your guys' support and through the work that staff does with the companies that we work with, it's really a well-managed project, if you will. And, Eastern's doing well.
Thank you.
Now, appreciate that. Could you address one quick other thing, though? I know that we are having some personnel changes from PFM. We have a new advisor coming in. Just want to touch on that for the entire board before we let you go.
Yes. You uncover?
Yes. So we have a new representative. Will be on board with U.S. Bank on January 1st. His name's Andrew Brown. John and I are going to be having lunch with him.
U.S. Bank or PFM?
Well, U.S. Bank took over PFM.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So PFM, sorry for the confusion. John and I are actually going to meet him at Aqua. And I was going to extend the offer to Joe and Director Armstrong. If you are going to be there, you're welcome to join us.
Okay. So. No, I think I'm going to be at Aqua.
So are you going to? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, so if we have the opportunity, that'd be great. So.
Okay, I'll extend the invitation.
All right. We will let you get on to coaching baseball.
Thank you, guys.
Very good, Dodgers.
All right, that brings us to item number seven this morning, which is to receive and file various reports. If there are no questions, I'll look for a motion in a second.
I'll move it.
Motion second by Director Slauson. The motion was by Director Corona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. That will take us to our calendar review. Welcome.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Director Record, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Same here.
This morning, I have two events for your consideration. On Friday, December 1st, EMWD is hosting a poster contest judging event in partnership with Rancho Water and Elsinore Valley, taking place in Lake Elsinore. On Monday, December 4th, is Senator Ochoa Boggs' holiday open house in Redlands. I want to point out that detailed information regarding these events can be found within your packet. Following on page 2 is the current listing of the Boardmaster calendar for the next 2 weeks. If you could please review the information and let me know if you have any updates or changes. Turning to page 3, you will find the important dates to remember, starting with tomorrow, Thursday, November 2nd, is the Philip Williams Administration Building Dedication Ceremony. Sunday, November 5th through Wednesday, November 7th, is the Water Reuse California Conference. Sunday, November 12th through Tuesday, November 14th, are the DC legislative meetings. Tuesday, November 28th through Thursday, November 30th is the Aqua Fall Conference. And lastly is Wednesday, December 6th is EMWD's Employee Appreciation Lunch. Next, we have the listing of the upcoming board meetings. I want to point out that on the December 20th meeting, we have the Legislative Strategy Workshop, which will be held immediately after lunch. On page 4 is the listing of the committee and interagency meetings, all on schedule. For the out-of-office schedule, we have one board member who will be off beginning Monday, December 25th through Sunday, December 31st. And lastly, on page 4 is the district office holiday schedule. EMWD offices will be closed on the following dates: November 10th, November 23rd and 24th, December 25th, January 1st, and January 15th. Are there any questions, updates, or comments regarding the calendar review?
Well, I see that the employee appreciation lunch is at the Trumbull Pond. So what's...
Yeah, so the tent by Trumbull Pond.
Okay,
yeah.
So we don't wear swimwear.
A tent,
or anything.
Not at the pond. Yeah. Okay. That
You put me down for the Ochoa Bogue open house.
Will do. I will add that to your calendar.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it. With that, we'll go on to director's attendance reports, and we will start with Director Armstrong.
Okay. I think the metropolitan meetings were covered under the general manager's report, so nothing more to add there. Did have an update with the general manager, which is very informative. And we did have our EMWD Elsinore Valley joint meeting, shared a lot about what's happening at Metropolitan, I think was the bulk of it. Also talked about Doheny and some other items of mutual interest. So the one thing I would add is while I was gone, interestingly, I found free water on my vacation. And, you know, and they have all these water fountains and stuff in Italy where you fill up your bottles, but they actually have signs, like, free water this way. So I was like, I should have taken pictures of it. I didn't, but I thought, wow, free water. Huh. It is free somewhere. So anyways, those are my updates.
All right. Director Corona.
Okay, so the State of the Third District event, it was a good event, featured Joe Mawad in the video, which was, he did a great job. Assembly member Kate Sanchez, both myself and Phil attended that, and Pakal did a great job talking about the accomplishments of Eastern Municipal Water District. The Diaz lift station discussion, I was kind of uneventful. The city council requested that we make a presentation, and they didn't ask a single question. So I guess that's a good thing. So monthly meeting with the general manager, of course, is always great. Jeff covered Elsinore Valley. That's all I have.
All right. So I also attended Supervisor Washington's State of the Third District. Joe was prominently featured on behalf of Eastern. He was signing autographs afterwards. Copies of his book. No, on a serious note, that was a great event, but it did highlight a lot of how important Eastern is to Southwest Riverside County, and I think Supervisor Washington appreciated him highlighting Eastern in that. I attended a lunch we had for all our legislative staff here, and we did a great tour out at the Salter, and got a lot of good feedback. I happen to know a lot of those people, but I think that's very important in again telling the Eastern story to all our stakeholders in the area. Our annual French Valley Town Hall that Joe and I hosted, again, and Joe can speak this, I am always amazed at some of the great questions that, I don't want to say common citizens, our ratepayers come up with these things. Like, we had about 50 people there. Staff did a great job. But once again, I am always surprised at how in tune, and people pay attention. We don't probably see it every day, how in tune they are to what our water needs are. So
that was a really great opportunity to engage with the community. And as you said, President Pauly, you know, we've had this for a number of years now, and I'm always impressed by the level of engagement and the interest, and frankly, the questions are very much timely questions about what's going on, not only within our service territory, but region-wide, statewide. So I really enjoyed the dialogue and the conversation with the community members.
Good feedback. So, and then I attended a event that was put on by Met and Western, and Joe was there too, out in Harupa Valley. We had Dom Ortega was there on behalf of Met. State Senator Roth was there. Assembly Member Servina Cervantes was there, and they had a question and answer panel on water. So I thought it was a good event. As Director Corona did, we had a briefing with Assembly Member Kate Sanchez in her office in Murrieta. And then last week I was at our first of the annual Business Connections lunches. I mentioned it was just fantastic, and I really did get some good feedback, and I think appreciative, and I will be here tomorrow for the other one. So, Director Record.
Yes, Western Center, Science Under the Stars, great event. It's good to have some nice time with Directors Corona and Armstrong and their better halves. That partnership is really important with the Western Science Center. It's a good event. Monthly update with General Manager, always good. MWD Rancho meeting, I was late, but seems like things are going well between our two agencies. And then another update with General Manager.
All right. Dr. Slauson.
I attended the Wake Up Moreno Valley Chamber of Commerce, and there are presentations from the city, from the school district, and afterwards we had a chamber board meeting. It's great.
Very good. Thank you for that. Do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? Director Record? No. Okay.
Dr. Corona?
I got a question for Nick. The vote on Rainbow Fallbrook?
It's coming up November 7th.
Next week,
Tuesday,
right?
Correct, yes.
Next week. I noticed that there was a Water Authority person listening in on our EVMWD meeting yesterday.
That occurs every once in a while. I think they're paying attention.
All right, very good. With that, I'll ask legal counsel if we need a closed session item today.
Mr. Chair, as identified on the agenda as items 10A, B, and C.
Very good. Let's take about a minute or a couple minutes to switch over to closed session. Are we good to go? Okay. All right, we are back in open session. I'm going to ask legal counsel if he could report out of the closed session items, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to discuss significant exposure to litigation concerning 12 claims. A report was given to the board. No formal action was taken. The board also met pursuant to Section 54956.9 to discuss one item of potential litigation. A report was given to the board. No formal action was taken in that regard. The board also met pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6 to discuss labor negotiations with IBEW Local 1436. A report was given to the board. No formal action was taken. That concludes my closed session report.
All right. With that, we will stand adjourned until November 15th, 2023.
Thank you.